episode 473 of the Pop Culture Roundtable, the podcast that's just swell. In this episode, we go around the table with show and tell, and then we spend our whole master category section discussing major announcements from the 2022 Southern California San Diego Comic Convention. I'm Andrew Sayer.
I'm Lauren Rubin.
I'm Patrick Hill.
So get ready to get everything from Hall H without all the sweaty line waiting, because it's time for another episode.
Should I also have left my mic at home?
We like to kick off every episode by going around the table, which is where we talk about things that are new, fun, and noteworthy. But something that's new but not super fun or noteworthy is that two of us are operating on less than our normal standard of equipment. And so this episode is going to feel a lot like the original podcast.
Yeah, not over here with this velvety smooth voice. Do you hear what this mouth is producing?
Ooh. I've always heard what that mouth is producing.
Hello.
And worse, I've seen what that mouth is producing.
Calm down.
But it's okay because this one's going to be a fun one. I am traveling. I'm in Florida right now. I've been here for several days. I'm just going to jump into the around the table. I've been here for the last several days, and will still continue to be here for another week or so. And so I'm on my traveling gear, but I do have several things to show and tell. So I'm just gonna run through these real quick. One of them is I got one of these pins. It's a limited edition pin, and I think it's a pass holder exclusive. I'm not sure. It might not be because I don't see pass holder exclusive. But it's a Disney pin that Becca picked up for me. It's a 50th anniversary iridescent castle.
Is it like
pin.
3D?
It's a 3D pin, enamel pin.
That's
and
awesome.
Here's what it looks like. So it's iridescent. Let's see if I can get this out. And it's pretty weighty. So it's iridescent. It's got three pin backers on it. And then, Kate, you'll be designing the next one of these. And then it's hinged and it opens. And you can see
that's so cool.
Cinderella and Prince No Face in the back of the carriage. And it's got the 50th anniversary stamp on the inside. It's a really pretty pin.
That's really cool.
It's really nice.
When does stop being a pin and start being just like a belt buckle? How far off of that are we? Because
that's a good question. That's a good question.
Very good question.
Weld a hoop on it. Or like put a little bitty like hoop on it in one of those. You just need like the little pin thing. And you could just wear that as a
as a belt buckle.
Cowboy's belt buckle.
Very cool.
Real quick.
Can you make them smaller? Kate, I'm going to be honest. I don't like that. I like the castle. I do like the castle. But that size and calling it a pin, I don't know.
I think it's okay to have like one or like a few like that, but you can't really wear them. They're not very practical. Like I think they're cool for like collecting, but like I don't buy a lot of those pins personally because like I wear most of my pins. Like I trade them out all the time.
But why not make it a medallion? Like, because to your point, you're not going to wear it. It's going to sit in the box or you're going to display
it
somewhere.
On your little pin board and it's great.
Point,
those pins.
Point of order. I did wear the Mickey 90th birthday pin. The
mine's laying on
annual
top of
pass holder one
yes.
That's this big. It's twice the size of that castle one. So
I have one up there. I know, yeah.
And that one looks like a normal size pin on you, Patrick. So I feel like you should be you should be in favor of the larger pins. It makes you look like a normal size human person.
I just we're going to be just pinning saucers to ourselves pretty soon.
The biggest one that I've ever seen was one that had 12 posts and it was like All Might from My Hero Academia.
12?
And it was literally like a 12 inch tall pin, like a action figure.
Do you put
that's great.
Okay. Hold on. Someone.
Yeah.
Reference Drive. Do the dragon that's on his jacket. Make a pin actual size and I'll pin
like
it to
scorpion,
my.
You mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I will pin it to my jean jacket. And I'll pay you $250 for it because that's what I'm guessing it costs to make.
That's probably what it would be to make.
Anyway, very awesome pin.
If I fell, I would have to go to the hospital.
If you fall anyway, you're going to have to go to the hospital.
Oh, sorry. I had changed subjects. I was just letting y'all know, generally speaking.
You were just jumping over into a general topic of your health and wellness.
Yeah.
All right. So one of the reasons that I'm staying in Florida longer is not such a fun reason. Tomorrow, I'm actually celebrating my mom's funeral. With family and maybe more importantly with friends. A couple of friends of the show are coming down. Jonathan Scrumblekins, friend of the show, he's been on before, is actually performing the ceremony. So we went out with them today. Oh. But I wanted to show you guys. Patrick, I think you saw this, but my mom's favorite bird was the hummingbird, and so for the funeral, I decided to draw this piece.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Of a hummingbird with the three stars, like, I don't know if you can see the stars, but the three stars triangulated for my sisters and myself. So that was just a fun little deviation from some of the normal stuff that I get to draw, and the fact that it's, you know, for my mom is nice.
Yeah, great job.
Jumping back over, I
have the utmost in respect or empathy for the situation.
I love where this is going. Yeah, this
it
is
took
good.
Everything in my
I was
power.
Like, there's a butt coming.
It yeah, took everything in my power to not press this button in front of me.
yeah.
Pass. Too soon.
So jumping back off of that. So I'm here in Orlando right now, and I went to Disney Springs today. And I want to show you a couple of things that I got from. Well, I actually got this prior to Disney Springs, but this just released this week. It's Goofy Movie, The Game. It's by Funko, and what? You actually, yeah, you take a road trip as either Max or Petey or Roxanne or, oh my gosh, what's Pauly Shore's character's name? Totally flaking on his name. Anyway, Those are the four characters you play as, and then there's Powerline as a figure, and Powerline has to make his way to Los Angeles for the show, and Goofy, his figure goes across. So they have minis of all of these characters, and Goofy makes his way across, and he's trying to make memories for the scrapbook, and so I got this game. Very excited to play. It's 2 to 4 players. I'll do a little bit more of a like a review after I've played it, but it looks super fun. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, was that sold at the park?
No, I actually got this I had it shipped to me here because it just came out. They might actually sell it at the park. I just haven't been to the park yet. I've been in Disney Springs.
You know that we've talked about this so far. I'm like 6 out of 10 on Disney games.
I know you are. So we'll see how this goes. JP, our friend JP, got the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad board game, and he said it is very, very fun. So. Okay. So we'll see how this goes.
This one looks great. You know,
it does.
The box and like the little figures look really cool.
The components definitely look
fun to play.
Yeah, the components look pretty good. The Disney Villains Clue game is very well done. Like it's like they're like die cast figures. And so the pieces are really well done. So we may have just had a bad one or two experiences with some of like the components from some of the other ones. Okay, anyway, back to Disney Springs. This month, they are featuring some new, fun, delicious things at Gideon's. And so let me show you. This is actual show and tell. All right. So this is this month's special edition cake. It's called chocolate churro cake.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you see how you left that in the room with you?
Can you see how beautiful that? Whoa! So I almost just dumped that chocolate churro cake all over my computer.
Do you remember when Mackenzie dropped her cupcake onto her phone?
I do.
That's all.
Face down right onto the brand new phone. I do remember that.
By the way, I don't know that this is happening, but I'm pretty sure that within an arm's length of Andrew is Hey Pretty Girl, and she's just waiting to eat all of the things that you're showing us.
She is going to
As soon as you're done showing them, she gets to like eat it.
That legitimately is what's happening. Here's the fork that goes with it. And Becca, you're free to come take this. It'll be off screen, so you don't have to worry about it. And then here's the one that I'm excited about. So I'm going to have a bite of that, but that was really Becca's. This is the one that I've been excited about it for the last week since they announced it, and I knew this was coming. There you go. Congratulations.
Yeah. You. There we go.
That's She's got it.
Okay. Part of it back.
Make sure you don't drop it on your computer on the way out, you know.
Okay. This is what I'm excited about. This is their, hang on. I need to make sure I get the title of it right. I pulled it up on their Insta.
How hard could this possibly be?
The title? I want to get it right.
It's just chocolate chip, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's chocolate chip cookie.
Great.
No. This one is called
okay.
Just shush for a second.
You know what? I'm going to clap here because I'm going to need to edit this out.
Yes, you will.
I need this cookie to be punchier.
Yeah, sorry.
Wait, hold on.
Chet Baskets.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So this. okay, so this cookie is called the Orange Pecan Chocolate Chip Cookie. All right, so this thing has. Here we go. This is the cookie.
Oh, yummy.
It has chocolate
chips. How
did you
say it? Say it again.
Orange pecan chocolate chip cookie.
Lauren, do you say pecan?
Yeah, but you're going to argue about like pecan?
He's going to say pecan.
No. Yeah. No, it's picante. Just kidding.
This cookie has chocolate chips in it. It has sea salt. Obviously, all of them have sea salt. But it has candied pecans and candied pieces of orange. Actual, like, candied orange in it. I cannot wait to eat. Actually, I'm just going to take a bite of it right now.
You're going to try it right now?
I'm going to be honest. I would not have picked this one. Just throwing it out there. This is not... Is
one you're, like, got your eye on?
No, this just wouldn't have been it. Like, I get it. Like, saying the pieces, guys, it makes sense, but...
This is such a good cookie.
I'm sure it's fine.
I love creamsicle things.
Hungry.
I love orange. As a Florida boy, like I feel like I'm required to like orange. But oh my gosh, that's so good. Patrick, I'm gonna bring one of these back and you're gonna like it.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Kate just pointed out that it's there's an orange theme at Disney Springs happening right now.
There is. It's called Taste of Florida. Cool. I think it's called the Taste of Florida like event for this whole month. And it's all citrus themed. So the character that goes along with the orange theme at Gideon's, you know, each time they have a special character that's with it, right? And I've gotten some of the pins before and I've shown you guys some of the characters. This character's name is Stuart Valencia.
You're going to choke and die on a orange candy is what's going to happen.
I think what I'm currently choking on is a pecan.
Okay, great.
So the character's name is Stuart Valencia. And look at the pin that they released with it.
It's this big. Okay. Oh, it's normal size. It kind of looks like a Coraline, like, lost
super
character.
Super creepy.
He is a little creepy. He's super cute, though. So I'm so happy about
his mouth isn't sewn. Those are teeth coming out, right?
They're very sharp teeth.
I thought it was stitches.
Yeah, disturbing.
Okay. He's got like really pretty like sky blue eyes, though. I don't know if you can tell that they're blue. You can see like the blue to it. So I think that's all of my show and
tell
stuff.
It looks like the like pumpkin kids from like Over the Garden Wall. Like he would be the Florida version.
That's true. He has very sharp teeth, menacing teeth, but his smile is really pleasant.
How else are you going to eat oranges unless you have sharp teeth to get through the outside?
Yeah. Maybe later we'll just do a quick tutorial on how to peel things.
Maybe.
Anyway, that's the end of my show and tell. I have a very delicious show and tell. I may or may not eat another bite or two of this cookie whilst you guys are talking. But I'm here for another week. If you live in the Texas area, let me know if you have a cookie order because I will be going back to Gideon's at least once before.
I'll take one.
Just a cookie? I mean, you need to let me know which one you want. So,
well, not that one. But literally, like, any of the...
any other one. Just not that one.
Any other cookie except the one you picked.
So Becca just said, review on the cake, because she's taking it back to the room to eat it. She says, it's good, but very rich.
Yeah.
I could tell you that by smelling it. Like, I could just tell you it's very thick with richness. Okay, that's it for me. Let's go ahead and... That's it for the episode. It was really great seeing you guys.
No.
You can find us at
I haven't said nearly enough inappropriate things. Hurry
up. Okay. So then why don't I throw it to Lauren?
All right.
Awesome. Yeah. So it's nice to be back. Kind of like working on getting back to regular setup because of having some technical difficulties at my house. But we're going to figure that out. So in the meantime, last weekend we had our like in-town convention, Comicpalooza, which is always one of my favorite ones just because like, A, it is in town and it's a pretty great convention anyway. Plus all my friends can go. So I have like plenty of helpers and everything. So I love that.
One second. Andrew, did you want
to? I know.
Did you want to?
Yeah, I know. I realized
crunch up more rappers while she's talking.
I realized it. I apologize. Okay. I forget that you can hear even though I'm not talking.
You have a mute button on your mic. You can press.
I'm new to this podcasting thing. How does this work? Can you still hear me?
I can hear every bit of that that's happening.
I pressed the mute button. Okay. I don't know what to tell you. Okay. Sorry, Lauren. Go on.
No. It's okay. So yeah, anyway, Comicpalooza was really fun. Comicpalooza was really fun. It's always like a great show because like I have lots of friends in town and I have lots of helpers. So like I get to like run around and enjoy the show a lot more than I do usually. So like that was really nice. On Saturday, like I brought my Chopper costume back and some of my friends have like finished their Rebels costume. So we ran around together and that was really fun. We actually got to meet Lena Hidalgo, who was also dressed like a Rebels character, which was really cool. She's like a local kind of like politician that's pretty cool because she's like one of the very few liberal ones in Texas. So she's kind of famous.
And so she cosplays at conventions?
Like I've never like, I didn't like know this about her, but apparently she's like a huge Star Wars fan. So she was dressed as Sabine. And so like we took pictures that's with her cool. And she like posted us on her Instagram and everything. So that was really fun. Yeah, like when are you going to like go to Comic-Con and like meet local officials? It's really random. But that was like super fun to like get to do that. And then Sunday I did a new costume and everything and I tried out my like Hellfire Club thing, which was just like so much fun because like Stranger Things is just like the like costume of the year right now. So it's like just like very fun to like, you know, instantly like see the other people and like, you know, just like it like have fun with them and play along. And so like it was really fun and I like decorated my whole booth to be like the Hellfire Club as well. So like that was really fun. And I had a game where like people would roll a d20 and you'd get prizes based on the number. That was also super fun. So if you catch me at any of the conventions I'll be doing the rest of the year, I'm just gonna bring it along because it was like just so much fun and like it's just like awesome, like great time at all the conventions. But like I always like when you can kind of like do this like extra thing and like get your like booth cosplay thing together and it like worked so smoothly because I like didn't do a ton of extra stuff. It just like worked really well and like people were really into it. So it was just awesome. I didn't buy a ton of stuff, but I have like something that I have to show off because this is like one of the best sticker designs I've ever seen in my life. We've talked about Bucky's many, many times on the podcast. My friend Ellie designed this sticker and this is just like the best. It's like a Sonic version of Bucky.
Where do I get that? Where do I get that?
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes and everything, but her handle is Lady Cherry Art now, and you can get all the stuff, like, just absolutely, like I like their artwork so much anyway, but, like, this one is maybe my new favorite. I want them to make pins of this. I really think it would be an amazing pin.
They need to make a shirt of that and not wear it to Bucky's.
Oh, yeah.
Or if they made a pin
like, Bucky should buy it.
Maybe, like, twice that size, I would wear it.
Yeah, the pin either needs to be this size or this size for Patrick to want.
Yeah, yeah, this size. It'll be perfect. Uh-huh. Yeah. and then, like, I know you guys are going to tease me, but I actually got to meet some of the Magicians cast for the first time at a convention. And so, like, that's actually, like, not something that lined up for me.
They say never meet your heroes.
No. They said never meet anyone from the show Heroes.
Oh, that's okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. but it was actually like really cool. So I had them like sign like the artwork that I did from the show and everything. And they were really nice. And like I gave them copies as well. And like they were saying that they actually like remembered seeing my artwork as it was like coming out during the show. So I thought that was like super awesome, really cool experience. And like still love the Magician. So if you have free time, the whole series is on Netflix. It's wonderful. What?
I just want to know if anybody that does the show is an actual magician.
Like, depends what kind of magician you mean.
I know in the show, I mean, I've never seen it, but it sounded like there were some fantastical elements
Yeah, a little bit.
What?
magical, but not like practical magic. But I'm curious if anybody just like learned any practical magic. Are there any magicians in the show, The Magicians? Like, that's all I'm trying to find out.
Okay, so there is actually like a character whose like whole thing is like he like wanted to be a magician, okay, like, but like didn't realize he actually had powers. So
gotcha. Great story.
Anyway, I will not go on about the magicians any more than needed. But
can I ask one more question about the magicians? I think you probably have an answer to. Have there ever been any cameos by like David Blaine or David Copperfield or any of the Chris Angel? Have there ever been any like street magicians or stage magicians who have cameoed in it? Kind of like how what's his face, the redhead who sings folk music, was on Game of Thrones because he's a big fan. Carrot Top. That one.
Ed Sheeran, I think.
Ed Sheeran, yeah. Have there ever been any cameos?
That would have been like really fun, like joke to do. The like kind of only like celebrity ish cameo they've had is like Felicia Day. So like that, but that's like a very like
one more question.
Cameo, not the magician.
So this show went off the TV like 10 years ago. Just kidding, but a few years ago.
It was 2 years ago at least, right?
Yeah, like two years ago.
Okay. And do you just always have these prints with you in case you meet someone from The Magicians?
No, I printed them off like because I do like after I saw they were going to be there. Like,
oh, yeah. I see.
I've already done the artwork and everything. So I was like, OK, I'll just bring it along with me, you know.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I printed two copies and gave them one and kept and like had them sign the other for me. And it was just really nice. And then other than that, I have two movies that I need to talk about. The first one is going to be Nope. I just saw that one this Friday. It's Jordan Peele's new movie. Have you guys seen it yet?
Please don't say much about it.
I don't want to say much at all. Just really, really like this movie. Very excited to talk to you guys about it once you have seen it, because it's just one of those, like, I think all of Jordan Peele's movies are just fun to talk about after the fact. So, like, yeah, we'll save it for when you guys have seen it. But
next week. I'll have seen it by next week. Because I'm
awesome.
I'm dying.
I just want to, like, shout out that, like, it is worth seeing. Like, it's a fun, really cool movie. Like, the more I've thought about it, the more I liked it, too. So, like, yeah, if you were, like, on the fence about wanting to see Nope, definitely will give my thumbs up and recommend it for sure. And then another movie that I, like, absolutely have to endorse is the movie RRR on Netflix. I don't know if you guys have heard of this movie.
No.
I had, like, seen it come up in my feed as, like, a suggestion, but I didn't know very much about it. And then my brother really told me about it. And then I started kind of hearing about it on some podcasts and stuff. And Jake's endorsement was like, this movie is like one of the craziest movies I've ever seen. You should watch it with the most amount of people you can. Like, it's not in theaters, but it is on Netflix. So like, if you can invite at least a couple people over, go for it. I went all out instead. And like, we had our whole movie potluck thing. We watched it with nearly 20 people and everybody loved this movie. We were like screaming and like yelling and having so much fun with this movie. It's one of the craziest, best things I've seen ever. And like, watching the trailer helps a lot because like explaining this movie is very difficult, but I'm going to attempt to give a little bit of a summary because, but like, I don't want to give too much away. So like, it's a Tollywood movie on Netflix, which is like kind of a different form of Bollywood, just basically means it's in a different language. And so it's like a very long movie and it is in another language, but it's absolutely worth every minute. And like, I'm ready to watch it again very soon. So it's like a completely maximalist epic story about like two Indian revolutionary guys. And it is somewhat historical fiction. Like, these were real people, but that it's like completely exaggerated. So think like Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Like, it's like, yes, Abraham Lincoln is real, but this setting is very, very silly. And they're basically like superheroes.
I loved Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. I think I saw it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not dissing that. I'm just saying like that's like the level of realism it is to these actual people. Like, don't take this as any kind of like, oh, I learned something now that I should tell someone as fact. But yeah, so like, it's about like these two guys who like become like, that are both revolutionaries in India, like trying to defeat British colonialism, and they become best friends. And it's like, there is action, there's comedy, there's romance. And it's a musical and it's incredible. It's like one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Like it is a superhero movie in many, many ways, but no one has ever made a movie that I've seen anything like this. And like, it is truly amazing.
Is this, you see these GIFs that float around from famous films, like I think like you're describing, where like you'll see someone like, they'll they'll bend a bullet, but it'll like do like a crazy S shape and make a 90-degree turn around a hall. Or like you'll see someone, like a group of people will get launched off a catapult. This is one. And they all like form this like human ball. And when it lands, they all pop up immediately ready to fight. And then maybe they like dance it, choreograph for a second. And then, but it's like, it's all this action that's, it's basically like, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon meets like I'm blanking on the not John Wick film, but whatever the Seven film was, not Seven. To be clear, Smoke and Aces. It's like Smoke and Aces.
That's a great comparison.
Crouching like, Tiger, sort of and it's like mashed together. Is that what this is too?
A little bit, yeah. Like the kind of like fighting and stuff is very cartoonish, very like silly. There is literally like a dance fight at one point, like a really epic dance fight that is amazing. Like, and there's like the gifts that are going around from this movie are like a dude like is like in a fight and a motorcycle's coming at it and he just kicks the motorcycle and then like catches it and like throws it at a guy.
Exactly.
Like,
okay. Perfect.
Like it's totally insane. It's just. It's very hard to describe this movie, but like I can't like say like more that you should just give it a chance and watch this movie. Like if you can watch it with people, you will have fun. Like, you know, just like getting into it and like watching it because it's like just so much fun. It is just a great, great time. Like every minute of those 3 hours is fun.
They put the the Bombay and bombastic, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. The music is also like freaking excellent. I've been listening to the music like since we saw it. Like everybody that was here at my house, like they've been like texting me about the movie, like sending gifts and stuff. So like it was a big hit with like everybody who watched it. So it wasn't just like me enjoying it. We all really had fun. So I definitely recommend RRR. And it's very easy to watch. It's on Netflix.
It stands for Rise, Roar, Revolt. That's what the three R's stand for.
Yeah. I was hoping it was like Ryan Reynolds and then one other person.
Ryan Reynolds returns. the catches. He's not actually in the movie.
Yeah. But yeah, just please watch RRR. It's very easy on Netflix. Just give it a chance. It's a really good time. So yeah, that'll really be it for me. The weekend after that, I'll be at C2E2, which is Chicago's Comic-Con. So if you are in Chicago, come say hi to me. I think my booth number is A7. I hope I see some people. I've done C2E2 once, so I'm like excited to go back and it's gonna be a good time.
Okay.
When you just said good time, hang on. So Patrick, a couple weeks ago you talked about Game Changers. Yeah. Right? When you just said good time, there's a clip from Game Changers where they ask I can't remember the guy's name right now, but his prompt is he has to be the world's largest salesman. I don't know if you've seen this bit, but he's the world's largest salesman. And he pulls out, he shows up to this presentation and he goes, okay. And he opens up his title.
Let me open my briefcase. And he goes, you'll see if you use our services, then you'll have good time.
And when you just said good time, that is exactly how he says good time. I'll look up that clip. It's so freaking funny.
You to know. Yeah, it's so awesome. You like to say the phrase and then switch into something else as like a transition, and it sounds like you're saying the word butter every time.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Hey, that's a good note. I'll keep that in mind. Good critique. Yeah. Good critique.
So anyway, all right, what you got, Pat? Very excited. I also accidentally hit some things over here I shouldn't have hit, and you might have seen my face react to it.
Yeah!
But you can only see that if you watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/MoveOnePodcast. Joining the fun. All right, two things. I feel like there was about to be a third, and I blanked on it. So let me start with the two that I know, and I'll circle back. First, very exciting, BMW. This is the news, the sentence you're seeing everywhere, the title you see everywhere. BMW charging a monthly fee for heated seats within their cars. And so this is being trialed right now. It might only be happening currently in Europe, but it will be coming to the U.S., and it's not just heated seats. It's actually, there's two.
I was going to say, they shouldn't be testing them in any warm climates.
There's two specific features that right now you can pay for monthly, but of course people are freaking out, microtransactions coming to cars, and you know, you buy a car but you don't own it. Well, if I'm paying monthly for this, are you gonna fix it if it breaks? And all this other kind of stuff. So first I want to say what's actually happening, because I think that's important. And so for all the headlines you're reading, let's clarify a bit. Number one, if you purchase a car and the car is equipped with heated seats and you paid for heated seats, you do not have to pay a monthly fee. It's yours. Number two, the monthly fee is a trial. If at any point you decide to pay the full price for the feature, then you can stop paying the monthly price and the feature will be unlocked permanently. Number three, as I said before, it's a trial. It's meant to be a way that people that do not have the feature, but if it's already on the car, can try out the feature, and if they like it, they can actually purchase it, or they can just stop paying for it monthly if they realize that they're not using it. So that's the idea. So this isn't a you buy.
I wonder if it's like a thing you can work it. You can use it for only the months where it's cold out.
Yeah. So if I remember right, like heated seats themselves, I think they wanted you to pay like $280 for heated seats if you want them permanently. But if it costs you $8 a month, then maybe you choose to just turn it on for a couple of months and then turn it off. Maybe that's something that you do. That's for you to decide. So for all the headlines that are out there, it's not as horribly as egregious as it sounds, which is typically the case. In the early articles, they cited all of the things I just said. In the newer articles, people are leaving those things out and they're just doing... they want you to pay $8 for heated seats. But if you want to confirm this is true, BMW actually did a tweet, a storm of tweets. They did several tweets back to back that actually explain all this. So this is from BMW's mouth and not some third party like Jalopnik. So that's that piece. Now, that said, even if BMW... I'm not sure what that's a reference to, Jedi Robbie, sorry. Now, even if BMW, let's say they don't ever abuse this, and that is how it functions, because I think that's a very reasonable way to function. I don't trust every automaker to not abuse this, and I certainly believe that this will kick off another round of, oh, but where could we, you know, blah, 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 XYZ. So, inevitably, I unfortunately tend to have the attitude that all things deeply capitalist setting move toward anti-consumer behavior, or at least, like, how much can we abuse consumers before they leave us, and let's, like, stop right before the end, like, right before they walk away. So, unfortunately, I think it'll get pushed as far as it can go. But for those that actually read the headlines... before you get caught up in the uproar, that's all of the details. But fairly fascinating.
Still pretty lame.
I was gonna say, hearing that for the first time, what's your knee-jerk reaction?
I don't like it, honestly. Like, I think it kind of feels like exploitive, because it's like something that used to come standard with the car, and they're like pinching pennies out of everybody. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah,
it's usually something you pay extra for as a feature to begin with. So it's like you're paying for it in some way, you know, but like charging a monthly fee for it seems a little like ridiculous.
My only question would be, is it a lease to own type thing, right? Like where you pay monthly until you hit the cost cap, or is it you pay monthly to use and then you pay indefinitely? Like, because you know what I mean? Like, because otherwise if you go monthly, you could end up paying $500 for it if they don't cap it, and it costs whatever the cost is, right? Let's say it's $280 to add it to your car upon purchase. And honestly, as I'm saying it out loud, I can see a reason for both, right? Like, it's just like if you rent a house or rent an apartment, yes, you aren't getting, you never pay it off, right? You're always paying for but the convenience fee that you're paying there is that you don't have the actual responsibility of that property. If something goes wrong, you can, you know, you can do something with it, or you're not responsible for paying for it. So, I don't hate the idea, in concept. I thought that it was a forced, now if you want heated seats, you will always indefinitely have to do this, but you can opt into paying for it and not have to do the monthly. So I kind of dig it. I mean, at first blush, I thought that it was all scammy and all crappy. And now, like, I've heard more detail on it, I'm like, don't know. It's not the worst idea. We can see. And yeah, certainly people will try to take advantage of that. But that in and of itself as a micro experiment, don't hate it. I think it's an interesting way to approach this next phase of car buyer and car ownership, you know, give you an opportunity to test stuff out.
Yeah, a couple more reactions from me. And I actually, what Jedi is saying right now in chat, at least what I think he's alluding to, is kind of where I landed thinking about it today. Which is this idea that, so I've heard an argument that from a manufacturing standpoint, there's a bit of streamlining in saying that we equip everything the same. Like at a certain point, like, I don't know that that's true. That could be a poor argument. But where I landed and what Jedi is saying is that maybe someone chooses not to buy a feature because at the point of purchase, they want to save money. They don't think they need it. They live in a different climate, XYZ. And then later on down the road, either because they move or because they have extra money or because they're uncomfortable or they have a regret, they go, actually, maybe I should have got this thing. And that becomes an opportunity to sell something from BMW's standpoint that otherwise the user would not have purchased. And if I don't know how long people tend to keep their cars, but you know, if average car ownership is 4 years, I do not know what it is, by the way. It could be 6 months. I have no idea. I know I've had my car for 8 years, but I might be an outlier. But if average car ownership is 4 years...
Do you mean you might be an outright liar?
And I'm an outright liar. So if you know I'm not going to sell this person another vehicle for 4 years, well, maybe in the meantime you can sell them heated seats. And maybe in the meantime you can sell them like a pushless starter. Or like maybe there are other things like that. So I don't think it's crazy. As long as...
I hope everyone has a pushless starter. Like if anyone's out there push starting their car, just buy a new car.
No. I take a typewriter with me to Starbucks and I have one of those crank starters. That's what I have. Mm-hmm. You stick it in the front grill and it does the whole thing. So I don't know. I mean, you'd have to see the actual breakdown. Obviously, I don't want to pay three times the cost of a component or something like that. But I do think there's a way that it's a cool opportunity for both parties involved, BMW to make an extra sale, and for the user, if their situation changes, to be able to add something to their car without going, man, I wish I bought a different car. But certainly there's also a scummy way this is implemented, and that'll probably be done by Toyota. So we'll see. Yeah, fun fact, if you want to look at how... read into something interesting, read into how Toyota, I mean, along with like every other manufacturer, but has tried to, because they invested so much money into these like gas electric hybrid technology, they've tried to lobby against a lot of things that are pro full electric. So killing the environment because you spent money in something that isn't the future. All right. You know what? Let me see. I had one more thing written down. Oh, I was going to say the rehearsal. The rehearsal episode 2 came out. We talked about it a little bit last week. And I'll just say this. It has changed so much in episode 2. The episode 1 I loved. Episode 2 I still love. But the subject matter... And I'm saying like it doesn't really shift until you get to the last 3 minutes of episode 2. But suddenly, like, now we have a story. Episode 2 is very, very revealing in that sense. It's honestly probably a more shocking episode than episode 1 because it involves, like, children, like babies. And so it's just, I don't know, it's just very interesting. You have to watch it, and it's this crazy experiment. But it's very interesting. The story that emerges at the end of episode 2 has me very, very excited for what's going to continue in this series. So can't say it enough. The rehearsal is amazing. Watch. Even if you hate it, I still think you'll be glued to your TV and won't be able to look away from it. So, but okay. I'll leave it there.
Okay. Well, if you're leaving it there, then let's leave the whole table there and let's head on over to our master category. Every week we talk about something different. This week we're going to talk about all the same thing. And that week, this week, is San Diego Comic-Con. It just happened. Let's talk about it.
That week, we've got, this week.
That was my favorite.
We've got I mean, so Comic-Con just ended. San Diego Comic-Con just ended like 20 hours ago as of record time. And they announced a lot of stuff. And so we decided to take this entire master category section, throw out the rules, and just do an extended conversation about some of the things that were announced and some of the things that were shown at this year's Comic-Con. Lauren, I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I think Lauren has the biggest scoop on all of this stuff. Maybe, Patrick, you have more than I thought. But I think you should head up the conversation, and then it'll spur on conversation. It'll spur on discussions.
Yeah, for sure.
You need to.
And I'll try. Go ahead,
Andrew. You need to record yourself saying no. That way, I have both sides.
Okay.
Because I want to. I want to respond with that sometimes.
No.
With the better mic, we'll do it later. It's fine.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, okay, I have spent a lot of time since Comic-Con ended just watching panels on YouTube. So hopefully I can share some information that I've learned. And I'll just start with the one maybe that like I saw first and that got me like super, super hyped. And that was the Game of Thrones trailer, the new one. It's like 3 minutes long. You see a lot more of what the kind of story is going to be about for this season. And like, I forgot my microphone's not working.
I know. I was literally about to text Andrew to say, did you see Lauren adjust her microphone?
Yeah. I know. Just for you Twitch people. Anyway, so yeah, like I think this trailer was excellent. It was like really cool to see a lot, like just kind of more of the setup. You see a lot of new characters and you can kind of start to figure out how they're maybe related to each other and what's going on a little bit more. I haven't read any of the prequel books for Game of Thrones. So I'm definitely like excited just to kind of go with the flow of this one and be surprised by lots of things. It looks freaking awesome. Have you guys seen this trailer? Like what stood out to you?
The show hurt me so bad. And that's the thing that I can't.
Like, I know, but like, I was hurt so bad, but it's like, I see these trailers and I hear the music and like, it's hard not to get hyped again, honestly.
I know. And I'm telling my, like, come on, Patrick, you're better than this. But I also got excited by the trailer and I don't
want to. It's like being in an abusive relationship, right? They're going to be better this time. They're going to be better.
I really hope so. There's some very promising, like behind the scenes things. Like, So the guy who kind of did a lot of the most famous Game of Thrones episodes is now the like head of the show. And I'm blanking on his name right now. I think it's Miguel Sapochnik, but he did like Battle of the Bastards and a lot of the like finale episodes, like penultimate finale ones. And like that stuff that you would remember. They have the same like music people, costume people. So I think that's really cool. And then George R. R. Martin's much more involved in this show than he was in the other one, which is definitely a good sign. And there's an actual ending than mine before they're getting started. So I think that's another like positive thing for that show.
Allegedly.
No, it's like actually written down. The book exists and everything. Because I watched the panel and someone still asked George R. R. Martin, like, when are you going to write Winds of Winter? So they were still waiting.
Going to at this point because it's too fun now. And nothing can live up to the hype/verbal abuse. I think it's best that he doesn't.
I think he's just involved in too many other things at this point. It doesn't seem like he's like that drugs. Interested.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. We'll talk about later.
So, like we can move on for poor George at this point. Like just let him do whatever he wants, I guess. Like, yeah. Very excited for Game of Thrones. Like I was talking about this with my brother and I was saying like, this feels very interesting because like, to me, this feels way more fantasy than Game of Thrones ever felt before, because you're seeing like a ton of dragons just from the very beginning. But then there's still lots of the like talking in rooms that I love and like, you know, everyone scheming against each other. So, can't wait to watch, the show. It's going to be great. And then, you know, it's like, you know, brother right now, like the competition, Rings of Power, the new Lord of the Rings show for Amazon also dropped a new trailer almost immediately after, which was really funny to me. Like they're so in competition that they're just like, okay, you did it. We got to do it. Cause the Game of Thrones trailer did drop like a little bit before Comic-Con actually started. And Lord of the Rings was like, here you go. Like immediately afterwards. But like, I love this.
As a marketing ploy, which do you feel is the better approach, to be the first one to drop or to be the one to immediately follow? Because there's something to be said about dropping something for the fans early, right? That could help build hype. But then there's also something to be said about being the last thing, like, because people are going to almost always talk about the last show, thing. You know? Like as a marketer, what would you, how would you approach that? Do you think?
Good question. I mean, like, clearly HBO is like, we're getting the drop first. We're even dropping the show a month before you guys suck it. Like, that's kind of how I feel like it's been a little bit, but like, especially because like Lord of the Rings was clearly made as like the, you know, like Prime's HBO, like, sorry, Game of Thrones, like equivalent, you know? So like, as Game of Thrones is to HBO, they want Lord of the Rings to be to Prime, you know? So it is kind of funny that they're just like, oh, we'll do whatever they do. You know, I don't know. Like, it's, I think that trip, like the Lord of the Rings one stood out just as much, honestly. It's again, like showing way more of the story that we're going to get to see in that show, like showing characters that we like, you know, that, you know, are coming, but we hadn't seen yet. Like, people had been cast already, but they hadn't been in the other trailers. So like, both stood out like big time, in my opinion. So like, they both kind of saved their big boom for Comic-Con, and like, it paid off, I think, for both of them.
Okay.
Does anybody,
I don't know, I don't
like,
have any, like,
quit trying to make Amazon Prime happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, I have another thing that Amazon is doing that I do think is going to be awesome. I mean, like, they're like riding high on The Boys right now too. So like, they've got some stuff. You know,
I don't know why, but if it says Prime Video or whatever it's called on it, I don't watch it. I have no desire to watch it. Like, any
Marvelous Miss Maisel,
any inclination goes away.
Marvelous Miss Maisel. I think I'm going to call bullshit on that, because you love Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Okay, so that's one show.
Just the one.
And that's probably because I didn't. Maybe I used to watch it with you and didn't even realize it was on Prime. I was just watching it with Andrew. And then when I
would actually, what I would do, because I know how averse Patrick is to Prime, I actually downloaded them. I recorded it with my video camcorder. I put it on a VHS, and then I uploaded it to YouTube using a Digify system, and then showed Patrick on YouTube.
It's the equivalent of like baby birding me the content.
I knew that the content was going to be nutritious for him, but I knew that he wasn't going to take it without me chewing it up for him. So,
yeah. That's hilarious. Well, hopefully you will check out Lord of the Rings. Like, Amazon has poured a shitload of money into it, and it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. So like,
well, he's going to have to for the show, right? Because aren't we doing that Lord of the Rings deal?
I sure hope so. So you're going to have to watch it.
The hats.
I've been rereading books, so I'm ready.
That's what I wanted to mention in my Around the Table.
The hats?
A hat?
Yeah. Andrew and I got hats from our barber, but then someone pointed out that if your barber gives you a hat, that might be his way of saying he's a bad barber. And I thought it was worth pointing out.
Yeah, maybe he felt bad after the haircut he gave me, and he's like, here, take this hat.
Yeah.
You're going to need this hat.
I wanted to say all of that minutes ago. Sorry, go ahead.
Just cut it in.
All right. Well, congratulations on your new hat. Yeah. Just splice it together.
But not the haircut. Oh, put it back. Lights off. Yeah. Hair up.
Okay. So we'll stick with the like kind of non-superhero stuff just to start with. And then the next movie that I think you guys would probably be very excited about is the Dungeons and Dragons movie. I saw this trailer and I thought it looked, I didn't really like have this movie on my radar at all. It has like Chris Pine. What is the girl's name from Fast and Furious?
Idina Menzel.
Chris Pine is confusing to me.
I don't know who I'm thinking of, but like, yeah.
The projects he picks are confusing to me, but as I assume his character is a bard, given the last shot of him playing.
He's a bard.
Yeah.
Man, I am weirdly excited for this film.
And when there's an elvish, an elvish rogue too, right? Like a half elf or an elf rogue in it. It looks pretty cool.
I found myself like when I watched the trailer, like going, oh, that's a that. Oh, that's a that. And then I felt terrible about myself. Yeah. But now I feel good and confident again.
Don't feel terrible about yourself.
I think it was like a fun amount of like, you know, like Easter eggs to hunt out in this, because like I feel like it's kind of like a different type of Easter egg now, where it's just like you're seeing, you know, kind of like vocab words pop up, you know?
Yeah.
Like gelatinous cube and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the cast really quick.
Michelle Rodriguez, if I remember correctly.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Like, she's like a barbarian, which I think is like super cool. Like, I love that that's what her character class is and stuff. So it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. It looks like it's like, I like the humor that they have. Like, it seems like very nerdy Dungeons and Dragons, like inside jokes. So like, I think that will be a fun one for all of us Dungeons and Dragons fans, you know?
Yeah, I'm quite excited.
It did seem like in the panel, they're definitely planning like to make this like the first of many Dungeons and Dragons movies. And they may or may not be super connected because you could easily be like, okay, new here's like characters. A totally new party and they're having a separate adventure. And then, you know, they could do the Marvel thing, like 10 movies down, you get the team up or whatever, you know? But like, it's not clear if they'll be connected or not. And I'm sure they're kind of waiting to see how this movie does before like truly solid plans are laid down for anything after that. But I think it looks really fun.
It is clear to me. It was clear to me from the get that it's not just called Dungeons and Dragons. It's called Dungeons and Dragons, whatever the hell. Because they are setting it up.
Honor Among Thieves. There it is.
Honor Among Thieves. They're setting it up to franchise it. Like, it's very clear that that's what's happening. And I'm not mad about it. But it's just clear. Like, they're already giving it a subtitle because they know they're going to try to make as many of these as possible.
They're going to sell so many dice off this.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so many things. Like, just, like, you can buy probably, like, the scenario with these characters, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm sure that they'll be sitting pretty after this. But it definitely looks cool. Like, that'll be a fun one, I think. And just curious to see, like, where it goes afterwards. And then another trailer that I was, like, super excited about, and this does dip into comics a little bit, and I'm sure you guys probably don't know this one, but Paper Girls, which is another show that's going to be on Amazon, which I was not aware was being made into a TV show, but is an absolutely excellent comic book series by Brian K. Vaughan, who has done a lot of other comic book series you've probably heard of, like Why the Last Man and Invincible. So, like, it's not his first time at the rodeo for, like, having a step adapted to TV, but, like, Paper Girls is so cool.
I talked about it on the show before.
Oh, okay, cool.
I love Paper Girls.
I'm like, this is making me want to catch up on the comics because like I haven't read them in a while, like not for a good reason, just like I'm behind, you know. And like, this looks super cool. I love the casting. The trailer is excellent. The panel was very exciting because it seems like they're into this like for the long haul, and like they have like a really good plan because like there's a lot of time travel and stuff. Like I would say like Paper Girls is kind of like Stranger Things with girls mixed with Back to the Future a little bit. I mean, and like it is really fun, very like 80s nostalgia. I think like watching the trailer is a really good like setup for like even if you just want to read the comic, it's a great little like I think introduction to what the idea is. So just check out the trailer. I think Paper Girls is going to be like a fun one that we'll be talking about very, very soon.
Yeah.
And then we have just a few more trailers that I won't like go into much detail, but there's a new Sandman trailer, just like looks more cool stuff.
Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew he was in it, but like we hadn't seen him in the trailers yet. So like that was fun. I love seeing Gwendolyn Christie and like full devil regalia. So like, I think it's going to be like a fun show. So
yeah,
that comes out like next week or the week after. So like that's going to come right around the corner.
I think it's the first week of August. So yeah, I think that's next week.
Yeah. Yeah. So just about a week. And that one's going to be a lot of fun, I think. And then the Interview with a Vampire show also dropped a trailer, and I like forgot that this was happening. Like I knew about it and then like forgot about it. I used to really love the Anne Rice books. I read like a ridiculous amount of them. I think like the first few books are like really, really, really good. And this looks like a really awesome, like very thorough adaptation because it's a TV show and not a movie. I actually love the movie version with Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. I think that's an excellent, excellent movie, but the show, like there's just a lot of stuff they leave out because it's like a longer book and like there's more to talk about. And so like I'm very excited to like see it rebooted. I think it looks really cool, looks really creepy, looks distinctively different than I think that they did with the movie. So I think that's also a good choice. Just something that I think will be fun to keep an eye on. And then just kind of like other nerd news in general, there's going to be a Gremlins kind of like, I don't know if it's like a prequel or a sequel, like animated show coming out that looks like, I like Gremlins a lot, so I think that looks fun.
Is there a trailer to it already, or is it just a teaser?
Just not even that. Like, they did a panel and showed a couple drawings and that kind of thing, but it's not very, like, far along, and they announced some of the cast, and that's literally it. So, just something that I think will be interesting to keep an eye out for. And then Avatar The Last Airbender is going to be, they've announced that they're going to be continuing the cartoon show with a series that is kind of sorry, Aang and his like crew when they're like young adults or like teenagers. I'm not totally sure what their like exact age is supposed to be, but they kind of like released like a poster of it and you can see them all. It looks pretty cool. I'm not as familiar with Avatar, so I don't know how to talk about it very well, but like if you want to add to this, Andrew, like it looks pretty cool.
It does look really good. And I've not watched all of this. I saw the poster. I saw the key art that they released.
Yeah, that's all. I think that's better description of what it is, because it's really just like the characters in the title.
But I do like the new styling. It's like it's not like a total deviation from the original style. It's just a cleaner, more modern version of that, of those original character designs. It's not like a redesign. It's not whatever. And if that's what the characters look like in the show, I think the animation is just going to be slightly heightened from the original. And I believe they're also still doing 3 movies with the same cast as well. Like animated movies. So it sounds like we're going to be getting a lot more. They're just picking back up the story of Avatar The Last Airbender with the characters we already know and with the actors we already know from the show. So I'm really excited for it. Cooper and I, we love that show now. And so it's nice that we just picked it up, you know, 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, and now we get more of it. So kind of seems like the perfect time for us to kind of join.
Good timing on that one.
Yeah.
I did that with Succession though last season.
yeah, similar. So
yeah, that's one of my like gaps in nerd knowledge that I really know that I would like that show, but I haven't like sat down and made time to watch it. So I just need to do it before the show comes out, I think. So
you should. Yeah. It's a pretty easy watch. It's pretty easy to kind of
the one that you guys do the like Pondering Potter for me for, because I like know a little bit about that show just from like osmosis, but I've only watched maybe like 2 whole episodes ever.
Perfect. I love that. And we have people in our community who are deeply knowledgeable about it. They can be our expert.
Yeah, that would actually be really fun, because I would love, like, we could do maybe like seasons or something. I don't know how many, but yeah, that would be awesome. So
there's only 3 seasons of the show. There's only 3 seasons of the show. Oh, so we just do it 1, 2, 3
more for some reason. This is very achievable. Okay, yeah, we should do this for sure. Yeah. All right. Our Avatar experts, please come out of the woodwork and let us know what's up.
Yeah.
Be really fun to do. Okay, so let's get back to the Comic-Con announcements. I think we should save Marvel for last, so let's do DC. Your boy The Rock was up on stage doing his thing. He was they debuted the new Black Adam trailer, and he came out dressed as Black Adam. He tried to have his whole Tom Hiddleston moment, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know, that didn't work well for me, to be honest, because like we haven't really seen the character very much. So I was like, it's cool costume and stuff, obviously, you know, but like
I think I saw a clip of him coming out. I think there's a mismatch, because what they tried to do is they tried to make it look like his character was shooting all of his lightning bolts and stuff out of him, right? But they didn't quite raise him high enough. Maybe it's just the angle of the video that I saw, but they didn't quite raise him high enough on this in front of the screen for it to align. So it's kind of like he's standing here with his arms out, and then the lightning is like 10 feet above him shooting out this way. So like it's mismatched. It's like, oh, that effect could have been really cool, except that it wasn't. Like it was almost good.
I did not see this.
I was if you want to check out a clip, like, yeah, it shouldn't take very long. It's just kind of like him walking out on stage.
Let me see if there's like a clip posted.
Like just by comparison, the Guardians panel did this with a character that is like completely unknown, and I thought it worked better because it was just like the guy coming down the aisles and kind of like acting scary and like, you know, like, you know, like shooing people away and just being cool or whatever. And like I think that was like a little bit better way to do it, because you're not trying to be too big about it. It was just simple, like this dude came out in the really cool alien outfit and with this like headgear and stuff. So
yeah, that doesn't do anything for him.
Yeah,
like I can't imagine it's cheap to do what we're doing here.
To do all that, yeah.
Could we invest in a few lasers?
And then he's just standing there. He's not even saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's not wearing shorts. What is that across his thigh?
That's a safety belt.
Black Adam has to have a safety belt.
He's saying, "You have been warned." Okay. Bye.
Wait, does he leave now?
No, he's still talking.
That could have just been a hot toy.
Is it a really bad smoke? And that was it. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's certainly something. I don't know. That genuinely, if you're on the first row dead center, you got to show. Everywhere else, it sucked. But I'm saying, lasers aren't expensive, are they? Like, if the platform he was standing on had, like, lasers emanating out from it, that'd have been pretty
cool. Yeah, that would have been better. Yeah, that would have looked much cooler.
And that, there's no way that's, they had those at strip clubs. So there's no way it's like.
Yeah. I've heard. Yeah.
Yes.
They have those at male strip clubs.
I've heard, allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know if that went like as smoothly as possible. I mean, I feel like Marvel completely dunked on DC and like showed up at the last minute and just owned them. But yeah, so the Black Adam trailer looks fine and everything, more impressive than this entrance, I think. I don't know very much about this character. It shows him fighting a lot of people, and that's probably cool or whatever. You know what I mean?
This is just a side note. Just have to feel like DC studio heads are incompetent at some point, because there's no shortage of money, there's no shortage of talent, and there's no shortage of like great premises. Like, they put up some of the best like four sentence teasers. I think 9 times out of 10 they put up better than Marvel, but the final product is just, I think, like once or twice they haven't let down in the final product. And that's not a good record. It's not a good record. There's something that has to be broken at a high level in the studio.
It's almost an exact flip of Marvel. There's been a handful of misses for Marvel, but generally speaking, everything is an out of the park kind of home run, or at least a triple,
or
right?
At least like fun, you know, you hate watching it again or something.
We're bored with how consistent Marvel is. But these movies would have blown us away 5 years ago, but like we're bored with how solid they are, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, whatever. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would say Shazam is one of their more successful movies. So they announced the trailer for Shazam 2, which is called Fury of the Gods.
Don't move on past Black Adam yet, because
I'm just like including that like together, because they are like tied together anyway. Yes. So like I feel like I'm just gonna like, we can talk about them both for sure. You know, because like Black Adam was from that, right? Like,
yes,
like are the same kind of powers and that sort of thing. So like I think they might potentially tie in together, things like that.
Oh, they will. They will.
Mm-hmm. I liked the trailer for Shazam, I think, more than the Black Adam one, but I kind of know what's going on a little bit more. So I'm like, oh, okay, I know these characters. I want to know what's happening. So there's just kind of like a hook already in me to begin with, you know?
Yeah. I want you to talk about the thing you have notes on in your notes, because even inside the DC universe, there's turmoil within the universe with the different characters. So tell the story about what you have in your notes.
Yeah. So I made special notes on The Rock for Andrew. And like, I think another big like news thing is during this, like somebody asked about like if Henry Cavill would come back as Superman, and then like it transitioned into like, would Black Adam be able to beat Superman in a fight? And The Rock's response was like, depends who's cast as Superman. I'm sure I could take most people. And they like got booed for saying that Black Adam could beat Superman.
They're booing their own fans, or like the fans are booing
not even a Superman in DC right now. So it's such a silly, it's weird. Like, you know?
Yeah. There's turmoil within even within their own fandom.
But I'm gonna be honest. I think Henry Cavill's off limits.
Yeah. Well, I think they've just like they've deliberately fractured themselves now. We're like Black Adam and Shazam are maybe the only movies that connect at this point. You know, like the Justice League ones, I guess, go together. But now they're deliberately like, no, Batman is by himself, Joker by himself, like all this stuff. So they just seem a bit like lost in the weeds.
I do have a question. Did we hear anything from DC on the Flash movie on an update on that.
Ezra Miller has like disappeared off the face of the earth and possibly kidnapped children. We're just not talking about Flash anymore.
I think
I'm hoping Ezra Miller is not involved anymore, because it's pretty, like, if we look at how studios have reacted to some of their other talent in the past several years, the fact that Ezra Miller has not been pulled is pretty wild.
I think it's literally because no one knows where he is. Like, it's not official because he hasn't, like...
Well, we'll figure it out when he punches a 60-year-old in a bar in Hawaii, he'll pop back up. Right. But this dude's insane.
Yeah.
But Comic-Con just came and went, and I've heard zero on that movie that was supposed to come out any day now, right? Like, it was supposed to release in conjunction with Comic-Con, if I remember correctly. And
you might be right. Yeah, I don't remember the release date.
It has kind of fizzled away. I think they're just praying and hoping that they're just going to cut their losses and everyone has forgotten what happened. And like, they're just hoping everything's fine.
Several months and six altercations ago, why wasn't he pulled? Like, I do not understand why this saga has been allowed to continue like this.
Yeah. It's pretty bonkers.
It's such an outlandish situation too. That's part of why I'm just like laughing a little bit. Cause I'm like, even as I say it out loud, it sounds like I made it up. Like,
if you're unfamiliar, if you're listening to this and you're unfamiliar with the Ezra, what's his last name?
Ezra Miller news tab on Google will fill you in on all this stuff. But like, he's total nutbag.
He has
apparently
a dedicated TMZ subdomain.
The Ezra watch list. Wow. So just read up on that. Take 15 minutes to read about that, and you'll have all the information you need to know what we're talking about right now. So. But we can move off of him because he doesn't deserve us to talk about. So, I like the first Shazam a lot. So I have high hopes for the second one.
Yeah, I thought it looked fun. Like, I think it'll be cool to see like the whole family with their superpowers a little bit more and all that kind of stuff. So like, yeah, looks like fun. So that's probably the DC movie I'm most excited for, other than like whenever Peacemaker or Doom Patrol come back.
They'll ruin it. They'll ruin it.
What?
It's going to get ruined. I love the first Shazam. Like, I really enjoyed it. I have no hope for the second one. I have zero.
The trailer had like very similar vibes to the first one. See. So like, hopefully they just continue on the same wavelength and they can keep it going, you know?
Yeah. We'll see. Okay.
All right. And then the big show, the big one, that was Marvel. They took over Hall H and they shut it down. And like, it's crazy because like, they didn't announce until pretty late on that they were going to be there because Marvel is now owned by Disney. They were supposed to be making all their announcements at D23 from now on. But like, I love that they decided to come back to Comic-Con. I think it's like the right thing to do in many ways. Cause it's like this, like Marvel movies.
Dance with the one that brought you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Play
so
the
like
song
it's
that
so
got
cool.
you to the Opry.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I think like this is just cool. I'm sure they will have more announcements at D23, probably adjacent to some of the stuff that we're about to talk about, like casting, all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm sure they're still going to like blow the doors down there as well. But I was shocked at how much that they were like, "Oh, here, guys, let's just show you everything." Yeah. Let's just jump right into it. So Kevin Feige came out and kind of announced that like Phase 4 will be ending after She-Hulk, and then Wakanda Forever will be the last one. And we should save Wakanda Forever for the end to talk about a little bit more. But the trailer for that, just amazing.
Save it, Lauren.
I know. Sorry,
we're
going to
save that. So let's talk about it real quick.
We could talk about it. But I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, so then like after announcing this will be the end of Phase 4, which was, in my opinion, a little bit surprising because they hadn't really like said when Phase 4 was ending. To me, where the story is right now doesn't feel like it's going to be like any kind of like chapter ending that feels like a real conclusion of any kind.
I don't think it's supposed to be. It's a transition. It's a transition phase.
Yeah, and that's fine. I don't really even know if you asked me to, like, when the transitions for the other ones are either, like, the phases. Like, it's not the most important thing to me, but, like, it was, like, they hadn't said that, like, Phase 4 was going to end this soon, so it wasn't known, I guess. So, like, it was a little bit of a surprise. And then they fully showed a calendar for Phase 5, and I sent you guys the link for this, but if you just Google Marvel Phase 5, you can catch up on this really quickly. And like only a few of these, I think, were ones that were like surefire. We know this, like not a surprise whatsoever. And that is basically like Quantumania would be like the next one out. And then Guardians of the Galaxy 3, is coming pretty shortly after, because that's been in production forever. And then like, I think like Loki season two, but then like everything else was like, they've announced Blade, but it never had a date. They changed the name for the Agatha Harkness show. I didn't know that Secret Invasion was a TV show and not a movie, to be honest. I definitely thought it was a movie, and this might have totally been a mistake that I made. Or
yeah, just they did say that it was going to be a TV show, an arc at least, starring Nick Fury.
Yeah, and it's still surprising to me that we haven't seen more stuff like that lines up for, like, tees up for this, because it's such a like weird story. But like, if it's a TV show, I kind of have less expectations of what they need to do to set it up, because the TV shows just haven't been like the most consequential thing in the MCU right now. So like, I'm not now expecting this to kind of have the impact I originally thought it would when they said this storyline was coming up. So still excited to see it though. They did have a trailer for this, but it's not released yet. There's a few of these ones where like they showed the trailer there. You see the cast reacting to it, and it seems like incredible. Like the whole cast of Guardians was like weeping after they showed the trailer. And we can't see it online, unfortunately, not yet. I tried to look up like a description at least of the Guardians trailer, and I know a few things, but like it's real just scraps, you know, like trying to figure this out. And they've openly said, like, James Gunn was like, I didn't want to release the trailer wide yet because the effects aren't done and it's not ready for people to just like, you know, scrutinize like it happens to all the Marvel trailers. So like,
right.
I appreciate that it's like for creative reasons and not just like red tape, you know? So like, full respect to like whatever choice they want to make. I just really want to see it so bad. It sounds awesome. And like, Guardians is my favorite one. So like, I'm very excited. They keep saying like that this will be like the end of this era of Guardians. So that one's definitely like super high on my like anticipation list. I think like the other big news from Phase 5 would be the announcement of the Daredevil TV show coming back with Charlie Cox, with Vincent D'Onofrio, which has been my wish for so long. I was like, honestly, as long as we get to Vincent D'Onofrio, like Daredevil will be like great. So like, I think that's awesome. They said it will be 18 episodes, which just like is the like by far the longest Marvel show. I believe that's not like closer to how long the Netflix series episodes were. Like I know they had more than just 10 for a few of those. I remember thinking like Netflix shows were too long, the Disney Plus shows are too short sometimes. So like this might be a lot for them, but like I'm curious to see like, will this be maybe the only season of Daredevil? Will there be other heroes involved with this? Like, are they going to throw in the other Defenders from Netflix? Like, I think it will definitely, like, there's just not a lot known about the show other than like they're bringing Daredevil back, which is great though. So that's great news.
Yeah.
Do you guys have strong feelings about any of these ones?
Not so far, because it's the you mentioned She-Hulk, but we haven't talked about She-Hulk yet.
Yeah, we'll get to the, I think we can do right, the trailers so, like all together after we kind of talk through the phases. Oh, and then the finale they announced for this one is Captain America New World Order. I don't know what that means necessarily, but I'm thinking it might be something like Civil War, where like it is more of a like team up Captain America movie.
So there's a I'll send you the link. We'll post it in our show notes. There's an 18-minute movie. I think it's called Rockstar Media. Does this YouTube video that breaks this thing down, and he talks a little bit about what he thinks that might be. He's very, very well versed in all things Marvel and comic books. So we'll post a link to that. It's 18-minute watch, and it'll get you like a firmer grasp of the direction that things are going, and some pretty strong predictions based off of story arcs that are in the comic books. And so he even has some insight into what characters we might see. The biggest that is not mentioned in any of this is Dr. Doom being one of the big bads. Yeah.
Phase four just feels like a victim of COVID. It's, you know, in all the other phases, at least the way I remember, it felt like there was a moment when the primary story really unveiled itself, and you had this kind of a bit of, I don't know, I was just impressed that you had all this supporting material, but it actually did point back to this whatever the main overarching thread was, right?
But
and I feel like you can look back at the phases and kind of say what that thing is. But phase four And it's funny because each phase always felt like it had one or two films too many. Like, like I remember we saw, like you would get like a random Ant-Man movie thrown in at the end of a phase. And I didn't understand, like, oh, I felt like the big thing already happened. So why is this here? Whatever. It doesn't matter. So yeah. I kind of anticipated with phase four that there'll be a couple of like tertiary movies, but we'll find our bearings. The kind of main thing will be unveiled and then we'll dig into it. And I just don't think we ever did. It's just very odd. It just, it feels like it amounted to nothing. And I know it didn't because this stuff will, it all carries on. But the problem is it just amounted to nothing but callbacks.
No,
and then now it's going to move to phase five.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is intended to tie together. So Kevin Feige talked about it being a transitional phase. And so the phase four is intended to show the how people have reacted to the events of the first three phases, like of Endgame. What we're seeing is people struggling to find a new rhythm after Endgame, after these crazy world events. And that's what it's intended to be. You're getting some small setups that will then tie together in phase five for a phase six payoff. But say phase four is intended to be a transitional phase.
I feel like it's easy to spin a lot of that stuff after the fact. It feels possible. Like a victim of, part of it, the last several years.
But I also think it's fine to cut it off now, start the next phase and like bumped into the next level up or whatever. Because like I totally agree that like I'm missing the connective tissue right now because like Marvel's whole deal is like they invented the connected universe and like now they're like deliberately separating themselves, I think, a little bit too much. And it's like we watch shows like Loki and they're like, this affects everything, pay attention. And you're like, what? This hasn't mattered at all. He didn't even get talked about in Thor. What are you talking about? So I just feel like a little frustrated where it's like they're telling us that they're setting up things that like are not at all part of what has paid off at all. Like I thought that like Kang needed to be in Spider-Man or in Multiverse of Madness because like that's what we were kind of, I felt like set up for. But now it's like, okay, we'll see when I see you, man. Like, I guess he's going to show up in Ant-Man.
There was something to be said for when the scale was, because right now the scale is kind of infinite. But when the scale was smaller, there was something to be said for, everything mattered because there were only so many stories that were factoring into this larger arc. But eventually, you're putting out so much material that you can draw whatever line you want to draw. So it's hard to say to me, well, we had a plan all along. It just seems like you had a shotgun pattern and you just threw out a bunch of stuff and like picked which one, I don't know. It feels less intentional now, in my opinion, than it felt 5 years ago or whenever.
Yeah, because in the other movies, they just like all chased a crazy MacGuffin that all ended up being Infinity Stones, which worked really well because it felt very different in each movie, but you didn't like quite understand that they were all going to build to one big Megazord, you know? And so like they're just kind of missing that like bigger picture or bigger bad guy thing at the moment because there's not even like they've teased stuff like maybe Doctor Doom, maybe Kang, maybe Galactus. Like we've seen all these little teases, but I don't feel like they've committed to one. So it doesn't feel like there's like this thing to cheer for, like this event to root for, like sort of paying attention to Young Avengers, but I'm just like, I guess that's cool. Like,
I think watch that video and I think it'll shape your mind maybe a little bit. It'll give you a different perspective on it.
Yeah. And there's definitely some stuff that some predictions and theories I've heard now that like make more sense now that we have this new information. So like, I think part of it is like what expectations I had before. And then like, now I know a lot of information that's new. So yeah. Like, it's just going to be interesting. And then, like, they did announce a little bit of Phase 6. Like, basically, they announced that Phase 6 will kick off with the Fantastic Four. I think, like, that's been a big announcement. A lot of the slate was blank. Surprisingly, no mutant mentions. And
so, Phase 6 is they announced the bookends. They announced Fantastic Four, and they announced Secret Wars. And if you watch that video, based on those nods, he already has a pretty good idea of how there are six slots that they have for both series and films in phase six that they have slotted, but they don't have announcements for. He assumes that's going to come in at D23. But part of that is in order for Secret Wars to actually work the way that they, and he explains this a lot better than I will, but in order for Secret Wars to actually come into fruition the way that it does in the comic books, the X-Men will need to be brought into the storyline, and it will also likely require them to bring back, because it'll be two different worlds. It's like Earth 616,
like fighting each other.
It'll be two multiverses. And he says that in order for it to really come across the way that the story does in the comic books, we will have to see a return of Robert Downey Jr. coming back at least one final time as Iron Man and Chris Evans as Captain America one final time, and even Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow. So, like, I can totally see that. Like, it would mean that they're going to be getting paid a ton of money, go back and
you know, for this setup, you know, like, so I think that it could work really well. Like, and this will be so far down the line. Like, what are the dates? Like 2025. Like, I think it's going to be pretty cool. And there's other things that they've like announced before, like Nova and stuff that they haven't put dates to. And like, who knows if that'll be a show or a movie either. So I definitely think we're going to see more X-Men stuff slotted in. The only like official X-Men announcement was that the like animated series.
X-Men 97. Back. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the like official one. I mean, I think it's obvious, like, let's talk about Black Panther, because like that also has like a mutant connection, because that
before we talk about Black Panther, can we talk about She-Hulk though, real quick, before Black Panther?
Yeah,
because Black Panther is a good way to kind of wrap it all up, because it's a very moving and it's really nice.
Yeah, we'll save that one for next.
Garbage.
That's good.
Yeah. Becca pointed out something after watching the trailer. We see Wong in the trailer, right? And and she made this comment that I thought was really good, so I actually had her write it on a note so I remember to talk about it. That Wong is the new Nick Fury in this phase. He's showing up in all these different stories, and he seems to be the thing that's tying everything together.
Well, it's kind of funny because Iron Man is gone, because Captain America is gone, because Black Panther's gone, and they can't use Spider-Man. He is sort of the most like powerful in the chain of command, because he's Sorcerer Supreme. So it's kind of funny that it's like fallen on him by circumstance, but you're totally right.
he keeps showing up everywhere.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a smart catch, but he's going to be in She-Hulk, which makes sense because we're going to see Abomination, and we've obviously seen Abomination and Wong wrestling and fighting in that in that dimensional ring or whatever. Yeah. And so we're going to start, I think we're going to see some, that little gladiator arena. We will in Shang-Chi is where that happened. And so we'll see more of that. But I thought, and I love Wong as a character. So it's good to see him be kind of that through line, because we don't have a Nick Fury anymore after the Avengers stuff is done. So anyway, this is an interesting note.
I'm pretty overall, like, I was sad by this trailer, though, because, like, I've rooted for She-Hulk to be in the MCU for so long. Since the Daredevil TV show was on Netflix, because they are lawyers together, I'm like, I would love to see this, like, you know, like, superhero lawyer show. I think this on paper sounds so good, but the special effects just, like, are really not exciting.
Terrible.
It's not like so bad that I won't even try this show, but like I was really bummed because like I remember the first trailer, I'm like, it's their first shot, like they're gonna work on this, it's gonna be fine. Apparently it's not fine. And you've been hearing all these stories about like the VFX teams being pushed too far or whatever. I have total respect for those people. They just need to hire more people. I don't know what the solution is, but like this does not look very good. Unfortunately, it's just the special effects, the actual content, like the jokes and stuff. I liked the spirit that they're going for. They mentioned in the panel, this will be the first like half hour comedy that Marvel's done. So lots of things that I like the idea for, but it looks this special effects. I'm sorry. Like we're just used to a different level for Marvel, and this ain't it.
By the way, Judge Kitty, thank you for the 3 months with the woo. Thank you. And that's going to get a...
Yeah!
All right, perfect. Sorry.
I don't think. Yeah. I don't think that. I assume that's what you just did there. I can't hear it.
It absolutely but, is. Yeah.
I don't. I think the CG effects feel a bit more like the comic book character than like a physical, like, so like, I don't know. I'm not writing it off. Just
in
yet.
Fairness, I'm not writing the off. Thing I'll say,
the thing is, I want it to be better
until it releases. I'll just assume it's unfinished, but I did watch it and I did have a bit of a, oh, this is what it looks like moment. Like it did catch me off guard. It wasn't as good as I expected, but I always assume everything's unfinished until the day it comes out.
Yeah. So I'm holding out. I'm holding soon. Out for a hero.
And I definitely think it's going to be worth checking out. Like, I've watched every other Marvel thing that exists. It's not like I'm not even going to try. So, like,
you have watched every Marvel thing that has ever existed. That is true.
Yeah. I actually never watched like season 2 of Iron Fist. I think that's like maybe the only one.
And we're looking for another co-host on this podcast. So if you would reach out to.
Yeah, I quit. I'm sorry. I have to go watch Iron Fist. So there's this that I have to do to finish my life's goals. Anyway, this is like a quick nod. They released a trailer for I Am Groot, which is like a kind of digitally animated series of shorts that they're going to be doing where Groot is a baby. I don't know where this fits in the timeline anymore because like Groot is a teenager now. It seemed like he was also like on his own. Like they didn't show any other characters with him. So I'm like, is he just like lost for a while? Like, how does this work? Is it another Groot? Honestly, like, is it not the one that we know? Yeah. Right. So I think baby Groot is cute and everything. So like, I think this is probably a lot more for kids than other, any other Marvel thing that maybe that's been dropped that like is more connected to the like big MCU. But I'm always excited for more Guardians content. So I definitely thought this was like worth mentioning at least, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks like very, very cute. Then I'd say the other big one that we have to talk about is then Wakanda Forever.
Obviously like beautiful, incredibly moving, awesome music.
I cried.
I do. I held my laptop in front of me so my wife couldn't see me tear up. Well, say all your good things first before I make my off comment. But beautiful trailer. Awesome trailer. You should go watch it
Yeah, if you have not seen this trailer, please go watch it. I think just the very beginning where it opens with the music choices that they had, I think were like really beautiful and really emotional. Really cool choices on like just that part, yeah. Just to kick it off. And then you see this like funeral where everyone's wearing white, which looks like really crazy. And like, you can see Shuri's carrying the helmet for T'Challa. And so like in the story, he has also passed away, which I think is probably the right choice to make. Yeah. It's very sad. And like, there's no way to recast him. So I think like passing the mantle is definitely like the right choice versus trying to somehow replace him. I'm curious who will be Black Panther, but I think that's probably going to be a big part of what we're going to see in this movie. And then kind of like a lot of the trailer was actually devoted to the introduction of a new character who is Namor, who is like our I would say like the big mutant announcement, perhaps, that we could really count as like a more solid thing.
He's the first mutant. He's the very first mutant. Exactly.
So it's not insignificant that Namor is a big part of this movie when we know that the X-Men is coming. So just worth noting, I guess, in advance. It looks like really interesting. Like there's a lot of scenes underwater. Oh, so for anyone not familiar, Namor is like the Submariner. It's basically like he's the king of Atlantis, very Aquaman. Like the powers are very, very similar.
Only he doesn't have sex with dolphins.
Yeah, exactly. So like Namor is like a very powerful character. He's usually someone that's on the Illuminati council. So like that's kind of the level that he's at. Like he's a very big character in the MCU. And it looks like straight up like Atlantis versus Wakanda is like part of this story. I don't know what like sets off the fight. Like Atlanteans are very territorial. They don't like anybody kind of messing with their space, like, and they're very like secluded. Like, obviously, like we didn't know Wakanda existed, but like we like really, really didn't know Atlantis existed. And so, like, I think like that will be kind of like an interesting dynamic to like see how it plays out. The like design for the Atlanteans looks really cool. It's very like James Cameron Avatar, I think. Like they kind of like different like tribal Native American type of look. And you could see they like paint themselves blue.
They're
to, like,
blue. Yeah. Yeah.
And I, but like, it looks like pretty, pretty cool. So I think like all that stuff looks very exciting to like see how it will play out.
That is, that is a major story arc in the comic books. That is how T'Challa dies in the comic books, from what I understand, in that little thing.
Okay.
Is the Sub-Mariner come, or maybe that's not how he dies in the comic books. In the comic books, Sub-Mariner comes and he floods Wakanda, and it wipes out a whole grouping of people. Oh. So that might be how they, that might be how they kill T'Challa in the movie. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, not insignificant that he's the first mutant. Not insignificant.
So I watched the trailer and I got big, like, James Cameron vibes.
Yeah.
And then I went online and the first comment I saw under the video was Black Panther, like, was like the movie title. It said Black Panther, The Way of Water. And it genuinely felt like, I don't know why, somehow the beats of that trailer felt very similar to the beats of The Way of the Water.
Painted people, for sure. Does not help
underwater,
separate it.
Underwater, big industry comes in.
Beautiful underwater shots. Yeah, like with like insane lighting. It looks photorealistic. Excuse me. They have like beautiful creatures that they're riding on. Like, you know, like all this stuff. I definitely think like I got like some similar vibes. But I think like when we see it in context, it will feel more different.
But hearing the music, seeing the funeral, seeing the helmet, like it's very, so I wasn't a big fan of Black Panther. I said that on the podcast that I thought it was a really okay movie. I think I
not for political reasons.
No, it had nothing to do with politics.
Same.
I just,
same. I'm kidding.
I don't know why, but there's a couple films that I think that have performed really well, and sometimes it's because of like the cultural crossroad that they land during. Like, I think the first Wonder Woman is a great example of a film that did really, really well because of exactly when it came out. Like, they couldn't have slated it for a better time. And but I didn't like it. I think it's a pretty, it has a lot of flaws. Black Panther, I didn't think had a lot of flaws. I just didn't think it was like, what, again, it's like an 8 out of 10. It's fine.
Okay. I'm just surprised.
That said, I'm pretty sure I said that on the
podcast. He did, yeah.
I remember about Black Panther, but I didn't remember about Wonder Woman also, so.
Oh, no, I had a lot of issues with Wonder Woman. But anyway,
that's fine.
I weirdly still remember them, if you want to talk about them later. But all of that said, I saw this trailer and I got choked up immediately. Like, seeing the overhead shot of all the people dancing wearing white, and the soundtrack behind it, and the shot of the empty uniform, and absolutely, like, teared up like immediately.
I will say I didn't tear up, but I was watching it on my phone. I didn't have like the best sound, but I think it's pretty clear that the Panther at the end is a female. I think it's pretty clear by like her body type. What I'm assuming is her body shape, that this is a female. I don't think it's going to be a male.
But if you think about it, like if you think about Black Panther 1 and you've got the roster of who could like pick it up after him, like 5 out of 6 are girls. Like,
right. Right.
And I'm very cool with any of them. Like, Shuri could do it. Okoye could do it. You know, like his mom. I don't care. Like, there's like a lot of options. Like,
yeah. So.
Lupita Nyong'o's character, there's like that, you know, like lots of options that are like really cool women characters.
But isn't she going to be playing, maybe I'm thinking of the wrong person, but isn't she going to be playing Ironheart?
She's not playing Ironheart. That is a separate character that was also introduced in this movie.
Okay, and then I was thinking of the wrong actress.
Series, yeah. Ironheart is basically going to be like the new Iron Man. Like, that's straight up what she is in the comic books. But I'm going to assume that like they set up that like Wakanda University, or I don't think that's like the actual name, but like, you know what I mean? Like in Oakland at the end of Black Panther.
It needs to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
It's not for ants.
This is a center for ants.
but so the Wakanda Center for Ants was open. So I'm thinking that she came from there after she hung out with Ant-Man for a while.
That's perfect.
But yeah, I think that'll be a great character to like see in that as well. So lots of new introductions, even though we are having a very big goodbye in Black Panther 2 as well. I think that's going to be like a pretty excellent movie. There's probably a reason they saved it for last.
Yeah. Okay. obviously, those are just some really big announcements. There's a bunch of other ones from other industries as well. And I know that, mm-hmm. you know what I was
shocked
about?
Touch on art drops or toy drops or, I know. Mean, there's tons of stuff.
I didn't even know where to start. I got really excited about all these trailers today. And like, I just wanted to talk about it.
Let me give one honorable mention. They dropped, NECA dropped their Eastman and Laird turtle figures that is, it looks like they're like the original sketch of NECA figures. And then one thing that I was surprised by, and I wasn't super up on all of it, but I've searched since then, there was nothing seen about, from what I saw, nothing seen about Seth Rogen's Ninja Turtle film that comes out next year. I was expecting to see something, a teaser, a slate graphic.
Yeah, I saw a couple things related to the video games that they've been doing, but nothing for the movie.
There's a new movie slated to come out. They announced that there is a new movie coming out that's not Seth Rogen's. It's a separate one.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They did announce that, but we didn't see anything, and I was so thinking we would. Like, that just makes...
What, like, umbrella is that under? It's not Disney, so is it Paramount or...
Yeah, Paramount. Nickelodeon and Paramount, yep.
Maybe Paramount did a panel because I know they did a separate one for Star Trek, but maybe they just didn't do another one. I don't know. Sorry. I didn't check on that one too much, but yeah.
Well, I didn't, I've actively searched it and not found anything. So,
okay.
I'm just a little shocked because we're supposed to get that next year. I thought it was 2023. And to have not seen anything to hype it seems a little strange, but maybe it's just not ready yet.
There for anything else? Like, The Boys or whatever, because like that like just aired, so like they might have had a panel, but like I don't because I feel like if he was there anyway they would have found a way to do it, but I don't know
anyway.
Yeah.
But there was art drops, there was a lot of cool stuff that happened at Comic-Con. Yeah. Maybe next year we'll get some correspondence and be on the ground and do some live stream stuff. That seems like that's something that could happen.
Love to go to Comic-Con anytime.
it was a good year for film announcements and TV announcements for sure. So
I'll make a shout out if you guys, I don't know if you guys pay attention to this stuff, but like some of the like interactive installations that they had at Comic-Con this year were really cool. Like they had one for Severance. Did you guys hear about this one?
Yeah.
No.
Patrick especially. So like basically it was like going to work a day at Lumen. So like you go into an elevator, you go into a room underground and you're in that like conference room that Helly starts out in, and like you hear a recording with Adam Scott's voice and everything. You're then like given your new name and you get to like explore the office a little bit. They have different rooms. They had like kind of like like how they do in the Harry Potter ride where like there's doors where like, you know, you can see through them and they have projections. So like they had like little goats walking by on one of them and things like that to kind of like tie in more things without adding extra rooms, I guess, you know, like very clever stuff. And then they have like the break room and then the office room where they all hang out in the little kitchen thing. And they had like dance parties in there and the little snack machine where you could actually get things from and all that kind of stuff. So it seemed like you got like a work badge if you went through it and everything. So that one definitely seemed like really, really fun to participate in. the Game of Thrones one was definitely another one that looked like seriously incredible.
What they would do is they would raise you like 10 feet off the ground and then let you down really fast.
That'd be great. Yeah.
That's funny.
I'm gonna tell you about the real one, Joe, just because like, man, it was like you walked into this building that they fully transformed into like the throne room, and you could walk up and like sit on the Iron Throne and take pictures. And it's the new one from the kind of version that they have in the show where there's like just all the like shards and stuff on the ground of like all the extra swords just everywhere. So like the pictures that people were posting just looked like incredible. And then they had this like other room where you go in and you can like pick your dragon egg and go to like take it to be hatched, and you get like a digital code, sort of like Pokemon Go or something, to like keep the dragon like on your phone. And then it's like a Tamagotchi type thing. But like the building itself that they had you walking through and everything, and like they had like real dragon eggs that look like the ones in the show. You had to like take those to the room to like hatch them and everything. It looked like incredible.
Yeah. It's what's cool about Comic-Con That's the San Diego Comic Con. It doesn't, it's not just a convention center. It takes over all of downtown. So like when I went, it takes place over several square blocks, maybe even a mile's worth of different convention halls, different hotel ballrooms, different restaurants, different, the entire downtown area on the port side is, or the pier side is completely transformed for that week. And so you'll be seeing stuff nowhere near the actual convention center because they need more space than what is provided in that area. And it's just pretty cool. It's pretty cool that the city embraces that level of nerddom across the city. Yeah. So
I was about to say too, like it's not like some of it's not even official events. It'll be like a deli and they'll make a Spider-Man sandwich or whatever, just to like, you know, be part of the fun. And because it's like you said, the whole city gets involved if they're even near the
sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. See, so like not even hard to come up with. So it's just like a special time. So I always like following up on all the news after Comic-Con.
Okay. I think we've talked a lot, so we're going to go ahead and call this one done. Where are my dice? We need to roll some dice.
Let me
grab my dice.
Would Seth Rogen play Bebop or would Seth Rogen play Rocksteady?
Bebop.
Bebop, hands down, Bebop.
Which one's Bebop?
The pig. The warthog.
So he would have played warthogs in two films.
Yes.
Which is why it would make sense.
Like typecast, you know, we don't want him, you know, he just does, you know, what he's good at.
You like my mic? This is the OG right here. Oh, you could probably hear this.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and roll my dice.
Yeah, like I rolled mine.
I got a 6 and a 1, so passed something.
Well, you don't even need to know what I got. Well, I mean, you do. I got a 20, but that's all you need to know.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
Andrew, you got TV.
Okay, great.
I got 2, so I got games. Very cool.
Perfect. Awesome. Easy. All right, you can find us over at mofone.network, where you can find show notes and links to all the stuff we talked about in this episode. And there are lots of links, so go check out these videos and things that we talked about.
This description this week.
Well, Lauren already pulled most of those links anyway, so it's pretty easy for her.
Yeah, I made a really nice document for y'all.
She has that list. and then while you're at it, you can find an archive full of hundreds of other episodes with all sorts of stuff that we talk about week in and week out. Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/mofonepodcast. If you did not watch this live, you can go subscribe and watch this retroactively and see all the fun things that we've done. We did a lot of show and tell at the beginning of this episode, so you can go check all that stuff out on the Twitch stream. And then subscribe, rate, and review on all the different platforms if you haven't already done so. It helps us out so much. It doesn't cost you any money or very much time at all. Am I thinking, missing something else? Oh, social media. Find us at mofonepodcast on all the different platforms, and then join the conversation in Slack. We're doing stuff in Slack all the time. That's where you'll get the most up-to-date information on what's happening here. And you get to join in on the conversation in there in all of these different topics that we're talking about. That's the place to be in our Slack community. But I think for now you can find me at Andrew Sale with 3s instead of E's. Lauren?
I'm at Not Cool Co. everywhere.
And you can find Patrick. Me at That Good Fruit Loop.
Shit baskets on all the platforms. But for now, we're going to get out of this episode. From Florida, I'm Andrew.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Patrick.
Peace to you, my friends.
Adios.
Bye. Bye.